This month marks an interesting anniversary. 50 years ago, they built Redbird Mall. It was one of the classic malls, just like Valley View and everything else. You know, it had a Sanger Harris and, you know, Sears. And then malls came upon, you know, tough times, really tough times. And this is the 50th anniversary of it, but it wouldn't have had a 50th anniversary if 10 years ago, Peter Brodsky hadn't come in to save it. He's the CEO of now the Shops at Redbird, and he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so this is remarkable. I mean, there I overlook Valley View, which is not standing anymore, probably for good reason. But it was really remarkable saving Redbird. So tell me, is Redbird today, 10 years after you stepped in, what you thought it was going to be 10 years ago when you got it?
Not at all. First of all, I guess I wouldn't say that I saved it. More like partnered with the community to reimagine it. It's definitely not a mall anymore, and it wouldn't be anything if we hadn't had community buy-in. But you know, when I bought it 10 years ago, I really had one sort of North Star vision for the mall, which was to turn it into a center of quality amenities. And at first I thought that meant retail and restaurant, because that's what malls are. But what happened was, as I got deeper into the community and as I learned more about the deficits that and the things that were lacking in this community, I realized that this mall could be retail and restaurant and medical and office and family entertainment and green space and residential and hotel. All of those amenities are lacking in the area, and they're all desired by people who live around here. And so the reason why I credit the community with being a partner is because a lot of those ideas came from them.
But you had obstacles at every turn. I mean, financial obstacles. We had a tough downturn in the economy. Then you had COVID. Then there are all these politics. I mean, everybody wants to see the southern sector prosper, except they all have a different idea of what a prospering southern sector is like. You know, weaving all of those disparate elements together has been quite a remarkable accomplishment.
Well, thank you. I had a lot more hair when I began this process. You can't see me, but my hairline is receding. I got a lot of good advice when I started on this venture. And the first piece of advice I got that I really followed was, don't impose what you think the community wants on the community, but actually go and listen to people and ask what they want. And the advice I got was, if you do that, you'll build relationships with people, and ultimately the development will be successful because people will support it and patronize it. And so probably the first year of ownership, I didn't really do anything other than have community meetings. Probably had 100 community meetings over the course of that year and listened. I think I also benefited from a mayor and city council that was very, very focused on Southern Dallas, and an economic development department that was forward reaching in terms of offering help. But it took a lot of hard work.
What you've really developed there is more like a community, but within a fairly confined space, whatever it is, 80 acres or something like that. I mean, I guess the most successful early thing was a Starbucks, which I gather is still just knocking them dead. But, you know, Chick-fil-A and Jamba Juice and an AT&T store and all those things. But UT Southwestern, you know, health facilities. I'll never forget the day I was talking to the Dallas Entrepreneurial Center. They said, we're getting ready to open it in Redbird. I said, what?
Yeah.
This is really an eclectic group that you've assembled. How do they feed on each other?
Well, you know, it's really it's really a mixed use development. There are a lot of mixed use developments that have retail and office and residential. The medical, I acknowledge, is a little bit different, but there are other malls out there. Malls have a lot of space, a lot of parking. They're conveniently located, so they're really good for medical facilities for that reason. But they do all feed on each other because, first of all, everyone who goes to UT Southwestern and everyone who works at UT Southwestern, around 12 o'clock, their tummies start to rumble, and they want to go. They want to go get something to eat.
And then you got childhood learning centers there, so I guess
We
if they
do.
have kids, they could drop off the kids, and the kids could be where they work.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, we're really trying to build a community here. We've got a relationship with Dallas College where they've got a workforce training center here, and they've committed that any business that locates here, they'll do the workforce training. So a lot of it is very, very symbiotic. Some of it is just, I don't think that there's that much of a relationship between the Dallas Entrepreneur Center and UT Southwestern. Some of it is just coexistence, but a lot of it does feed on each other. And the most important thing is that the more amenities and uses we bring here, the more other people understand that this is a viable environment, in which they could locate their businesses.
So where are you right now? Is the momentum there? Is this self-sustaining? I mean, does it still need, baling wire and spit and sweat?
It still takes a lot of work. We still have a while to go to overcome some of the reticence that people have to locate their businesses in Southern Dallas. It took a long time for the reputation of Southern Dallas to be cultivated the way it was, and it's going to take a long time to undo that. So it does still take a lot of energy. That said, we're 10 years in and we do have so many examples of success because there really isn't a business that started here that hasn't thrived. There are fewer and fewer arguments, and our phone rings by itself now.
So is it the argument, I mean, shouldn't the argument be this area is growing and it keeps growing to the north? And my God, we're almost at Oklahoma now. I mean, wouldn't it be logical to take a look at all of this space that exists to the south? We've seen some of it and some more, but I mean, just from a pure development standpoint, it would seem to make a lot of sense.
Well, it would, but they say a startup is easier than a turnaround, and if you can go in and just go buy 100 acres and prosper, and you don't have a community that's already there, you don't have a bunch of absentee landlords that own a little parcel right in the middle. I think it's a lot easier and prosper, and you don't have any of the negative stereotypes to overcome. And so it is a harder argument, but I think this generation of younger people, the Generation Z, I think they want to be in cities and they want more density. And so I think that's going to play to Southern Dallas's strengths.
You still need some things. I know it's still a work in progress, and I know there was tremendous disappointment when Tom Thumb, the grocery store, decided not to go in there. They were committed. It looked like they were going in, and it was a front page story when they pulled that store down there. You still looking for a grocery store?
We are still looking for a grocery store, and I still contend that a grocery store would absolutely kill it here because there's so much demand for grocery and so little supply. But as one grocer once said to me, nobody ever got fired for suggesting we open in Frisco. So there is still that stigma that is attached to Southern Dallas, I say very unfairly. That just makes it harder to get things done.
So what do you see for the next 10 years? I mean, you didn't see the last 10 years playing out the way they have, although they've played out quite well. But
Well, they've in some ways, I said earlier that I answered in the negative. Let me correct that a little bit. In some ways, they played out exactly the way I thought because we are providing quality amenities.
Right.
What's different is I had no idea we would have so much medical. Medical was not on the agenda at the beginning. And I think what's going to happen over the next 10 years is that we're finally going to get some of the quality retail that we want. That's been the laggard here, where we've gotten offices, we've gotten medical, but we really haven't yet achieved what we want to achieve with retail and restaurants. And I think that that's the next shoe to drop.
So usually that'll follow residential development, but you've got residential now. Do you need more multifamily or are new single family redevelopment, gentrification of areas? What?
I don't think we need gentrification because this is actually already a very solidly middle-class community. One of the issues that we struggle with is that there is not as much density. Some of that is because of the old Redbird Airport, now called Dallas Executive Airport. That's a big, big, big swath of land on which there are no homes. So some additional single-family homes, some additional multifamily would help. But I really think that what we're doing is also going to help, and that is that we're providing daytime traffic. Because this is really mostly a bedroom community, there is not very much office space in all of Southern Dallas or particularly in the Redbird area. But by providing all these spaces for medical and office, we're creating a daytime demand for food and for retail.
And we'll see if that follows. Well, I first of all, to Redbird, happy 50th anniversary. And to Peter Brodsky, the CEO of the Shops at Redbird, happy 10th anniversary. Good
Well,
to spend
thank
some
you
time
very,
with
very
you
much.
again, my friend.
Good to be with you as well.
Thanks for more of our conversation. Go to krld.com/CEO. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.